Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Really happy for him. Obviously, very well deserved to be the highest paid safety in football at this point, and he's earned it, you know. And he's a guy that I don't think there's anybody surprised by that. I think everybody and everybody in the Raven flock was hoping to see that happen. It's really a great point because not everybody makes it. You don't hit on all your picks, and you certainly even don't hit on all your first round picks. And to have two first round picks from that one year hit the way they have is just, it's just a great thing for all of us, for everybody, but mostly for them. It speaks to the guys. And, Kyle was a guy that people were even criticizing us for taking him where we took him. Well, it's definitely unusual. I mean, I don't know how many times it's really happened, and you're talking about undrafted free agents making a team, especially, a team that's, as highly thought of as this team and this roster is. Also guys that were, in some cases, weren't even signed the first go-round, guys that were tryout guys like Keon, or guys that didn't have any signing bonus, I like the roster. I mean, to your point, what goes through my mind when I watch in practice is this is a really good football team. And every season is its own season. Every week, every game is its own game. I mean, you take them all one at a time, truly.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, talking about his team. And he likes his team. He put the team together with the help, obviously, of his coaches and the front offices and everything, trying to build this perfect football machine as the Ravens are looking to take a level up in the postseason. He loves his team. He loves his players. He talked about the undrafted free agents making a roster, which we'll get into as we look at the 53 and the practice squad. No real surprises there, but still we'll address. Just don't say it's Super Bowl or bust to John Harbaugh, because he's not trying to hear any of that. But John Harbaugh, I speak for the fans. I'm a conduit to the people. I'm one of the people, Baltimore native, born and bred. It's Super Bowl or bust. At least get to the Super Bowl. Would we even accept an AFC championship game appearance?
No. You better win that one.
Yeah. If you lose in the... All right, let's put it this way. If they don't get past the divisional round, unless as the circumstances of the season change, and maybe, for everything they've overcome to get here, and we have to let that play out in real time, but based on what that roster looks like right now, which might be the best in football, and there are concerns, which we'll talk about, if they don't make it to the AFC Championship game, it's unacceptable. And if they're not hosting the AFC, well... that might be putting a little too much with Kansas City, Buffalo, et cetera. But if they're not in the AFC Championship game, we got a problem. Sorry.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Bob. I think, if I'm Steve Bisciotti, I'm expecting to be in the Super Bowl. If I'm not in the Super Bowl, I'm pissed. I'm disappointed, and same with Eric. Eric's got to feel really good, about that roster. I mean, Harvey just said it. I like this roster. And I totally agree with you. I mean, they are... good enough. Bob, if I'm fan, Bashad, whoever, if I go to the playoffs and I lose the same way that I've lost for the last 5 years, I am really pissed then. Yeah. Because all I do is I beat myself.
And you don't want to be playing a lot of road playoff games anymore.
Nope.
Now, they were the number one seed twice. The debacle against Tennessee, it's a completely different team from 2019, except for, of course, the MVP, Lamar. 2023, you had it where you were favored in the game.
Yep.
And then the offense went sleepy time, and, Kansas City's offense didn't light it up. That's one of the more frustrating, looking at it now, again, very frustrating. Last year, you're on the road in Buffalo, and, it's a pick'em game, and Bills got the early advantage with Josh Allen not even lighting up the scoreboard.
Threw for 170 yards or whatever.
Turnovers killed him there, but they're running out of excuses slash reasons for not getting deeper.
Bob, there are two Super Bowl wins. What seeds were they?
They were a wild card in both.
Really?
Yes. No, they were division champs in 12, but they played in the wild card round against the Colts. But then went to Denver.
Right.
And then went to New England.
So they were on the road the whole time.
And 20 or 2000, they played Denver here. Smacked them. Then went to Tennessee. Beat them in the crazy game where they just forced Keaton Mitchell's dad, Anthony Mitchell. Had big plays. Ray Lewis, iconic play, snatched it from Matty George, ran it in for a TD. Then went to the Raiders, Oakland, to win. So the playoffs have never really come through Baltimore. The two opportunities, well, 23 they did, and they lost in the championship game. 19, they were stunned as double-digit favorites by the Titans here.
Bob, when I look at their schedule, and there is not one game that I could say that the Ravens should win this game. The only people that can beat the Ravens is the Ravens. And I believe that with everybody they're playing. I believe that with Buffalo. I believe it with Kansas City. I think if those teams, you know, if it, and I don't care where the game is, if there's no turnovers on each team, Ravens should win. Ravens should win. They're better.
Yeah, and against Buffalo, they're only 1.5-point underdogs, which is as pick'em can get.
Yeah.
And you're Buffalo, you're like, damn. I mean, we made it to the championship game. We beat them. And if they're in Baltimore, they might be 3-4-point underdogs in that game. So we'll get into it because I don't want to say we have plenty of time because we're creeping closer to kickoff. But things are real now. But John Harbaugh loves his team, and there's a lot to love. And rookie kicker, rookie punt returner, and, you know, three undrafted rookies make a team. What does that say about them being talented enough to come on here, make a roster that is the best in football?
Yeah. You know what? I think this, Bob, because I did what, Cleveland Radio or whatever, and they asked me, well, you know, they got three undrafted guys, and everybody says this is the best roster, so how can it be the best roster? Three undrafted guys make it. I says, well, a lot of guys that they replaced were guys that were on a team last year, so they got better. Now, the other thing is really, when you look at it, it's not who has the most undrafted. It's who claims the most. Those are usually the worst rosters because you're claiming more people.
Like Tennessee.
Tennessee got four. You know, so that's what you look at the teams that pick 1, 2, and 3, they all claimed people. So the Ravens claimed nobody, and they got on their practice squad, and we'll talk about it later, but everybody they got, Bob, was on their roster.
Now, Alice in Chains, one of my all-time favorite bands, had a song called No Excuses.
Yep.
Going back to 1993. If you're listening, and you certainly are, give us a call, 410-583-1057. Are you buying anything? What is the reason? Let's dig it a little bit deeper as you share your opinions. If the Ravens don't make the Super Bowl, the reason will be what? So you get in here and explain it to us. We're all very high on the Ravens, and rightfully so. They're picked. We had Brian DiArdo on yesterday. Thanks to them and the Eagles going to the Super Bowl. Nate Davis, who we had on a couple of days ago, he's got the Ravens as the number one seed in the AFC. So if the Ravens don't go to the Super Bowl, the reason will be what? Share your thoughts at 410-583-1057. Orioles lose last night to the Red Sox. Okay. Rafaela goes two-run yard off of Keegan Aiken. Tony Mantolino was asked why he didn't put Enrico Garcia instead of leaving Aiken in to pitch to a right-handed batter. He said, I didn't want him to face four guys who have reverse splits, et cetera, et cetera. And Aiken, who got out of the eighth, gave it up. In the ninth, Orioles were 0-for with the runners in scoring position situation. They played it at 105, by the way, and we'll get into the lineups. But through the first three games, all losses. And the Orioles pitched well enough to win all three games. They're 2-for-19 with runners in scoring position. I mean, it's just they can't generate the offense, and it's the failings of a losing team. When the offense starts to cook, your pitching stinks. When your pitching starts to stabilize, you can't score any runs. There's a defensive miscue here or there. It is what it is. Orioles playing out the string. I was hoping for spoiler stuff. Not spoiling anything. I'm sure Yankee fans aren't real happy with the Orioles right now.
No.
For not doing anything against Boston in the first three. And to make matters worse, in the series finale, Cade Povich still looks like a piece for the future. Going up against Garrett Crochet, who's a Cy Young guy for the Red Sox, who are going for the sweep. So if you want to talk about that, you can at 410-583-1057. Total request Thursday. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jim Smith, athletic director, University of Maryland. He's a couple of months on the job. Daunting task to come in here, generate dough. We'll get into that. Maryland football starts on Saturday against FAU, 14.5-point favorites. So we'll preview that as well. Mike Bordick, we got a lot going on. Anything you want to talk about, we are here for you. It's Total Request Thursday. Ravens, Orioles, Terps, we got you covered here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get out to the phones, however. College football's in earnest. Ton of college football games tonight. Maryland starts on Saturday at noon against Florida Atlantic University. So let's go to Annapolis, bring in Fred. Fred, what is happening? Thanks for holding. Fred. I know Fred. All right, let's go get Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
What's happening? Good morning. How you guys doing?
Morning.
Good.
Mitch.
Yeah, I think the Big Ten is going to be the best conference this year. I've seen four of them. I think they can squeeze out more than four. Because besides being a little biased, it was at USC. And he has another good quarterback, and I think this guy will be drafted in the first round, Fernando Mendoza.
Yep, Cal
transfer.
From Cal, right? He's going to be a junior or a redshirt. Now everybody gets 5 years, which I don't blame him. Not many of them make in the pros. Squeeze us some money for them for their benefits. But Maryland, who's going to be their quarterback? I heard Nolan says it's up in the air. The quarterback last year, I know just because he beat USC. Doesn't mean a lot, but he looked pretty good against a couple other games, and I wish I had gone to that USC game at Maryland. I need to be tickets available.
Well, he's Wisconsin's quarterback, Billy Edwards. He transferred out in the offseason. The hope is, thanks, Mitch, the hope is it's going to be Malik Washington, the kid out of Spalding, highly regarded, one of the top quarterbacks in this year's freshman class, but Mike Loxley's keeping it very close to the vest. You have the redshirt freshman. You got the transfer from UCLA. Right now, nobody really knows who it's going to be. And as Coach Loxley said, just keep it tuned to 105.7 The Fan. I believe he even said this, too. Keep it tuned to 105.7 The Fan at noon, and you'll find out when Johnny Holiday and Steve Suter start busting that line out for you. But in the end, it's going to be Malik Washington, we think. And if they can get four wins, some are saying if they get four wins, then Mike Loxley deserves to be coach of the year in the Big Ten. But we don't know. We're all hoping for the best, and it all starts in about 48 hours here. Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's going on, dude?
So I don't understand why Keegan Akin was put in that spot yesterday. I think he has showed us over and over again that he is not a closer. He is I don't even want to say high leverage guy, but he's a setup man, basically. What is he blown, like three or four saves this year?
Oh, since Batista went down, he's had a couple of gaffes there.
Yeah, I know, but I figured we would have given somebody else another shot just based off of his resume as a closer. I mean, every time he comes in the ninth inning with a small lead, a save situation, I'm gripping to the sheets because I'm like, oh God, I already know where this is going. And, Ben McDonald talked about it yesterday. He said, I don't know how I feel about him coming back out because of that adrenaline drop off from the second inning. He got the guys on and had that big spot where he, struck out the guys and got out of the eighth. And then you bring him back out and his adrenaline just crashed. And, he gave up the hit to Duran and then gives up the home run.
Yeah, and Manzolino, as we said, Ryan, after the game was asked, why didn't you put Rico Garcia in there, right-hander, to kind of go up against the matchup situations, what baseball seems to be. And he, I guess, said that Boston had reverse splits players and whatever. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, but I was with you 100% when Aiken came out for the ninth. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and it's just.
He got the 5-out save a couple of days ago, and he pitched great in doing so. But to your point,
he's a veteran of that bullpen, and I trust him to do what he's good at, which is coming in a clean inning, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th inning to get the job done. But and I don't want to say Mancelino is sabotaging this team, but in a way, it's almost like he's emphasizing to Elias, hey, look, this is what we need. I'm going to keep throwing Aiken out there because he's all I got. Which I totally understand. We don't have a closer right now. But for the, you know, like I said, it's him emphasizing to Elias, this offseason, go get a good relief arm that we can throw in these spots. Sort of like what Cano was 2 years ago, a future Felix Bautista.
But let me ask you this, flip side of that. I mean, if Manzolino, to your point, trying to send a message to Elias.
Right.
Is Manzolino even going to be the manager?
No.
When they bring in the new...
No, and that's why I said he's not doing it on purpose, because he's obviously trying to show him I could be the right guy for the job.
Oh, I got
so he's not going to try to make stupid coaching decisions. But, you know, I think it is in a sort of way not Mancelino doing it, but it is just showing Elias, hey, this is what we need to focus on.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. I mean, he can only go with the players that he has.
No doubt.
You're not bringing old Dennis Eckersley out of the pen, or Felix Bautista, or even Craig Kimbrell, for that matter. But, you know, Garcia was there. They chose to go the Aiken route, and they wound up paying. But let's not forget, first three games, 2-for-19, runners in scoring position, not putting any runs on the board. Task doesn't get any easier today against Garrett Crochet. 105 first pitch. We'll keep you up to date on the score of that one as the show, well, once it starts. Tony Pettit, talk about what's happening down on the farm, and then Mike Bordick, Orioles Hall of Famer, talking about what he saw last night and the final few weeks of the season as the Orioles creep farther and farther. I mean, the wild card, it's over, Johnny. But now you're still playing for hope. Sammy Bisaya threw a couple of laser beams to second base, and that was good to see. So there's still some positives. Dylan Beavers, he had some big hits yesterday, so we can get into all of that and more. But the Ravens open their season September 7th. And before we get to Jim Smith at the bottom of the hour here, getting back to Maryland football real quick, Justin Martin's the transfer from UCLA. Christian Martin's the redshirt freshman. So they're the guys. Because your quarterback room from last year – hightailed it out, except for Christian Martin here. Malik Washington's the guy you want to play. And if he's healthy enough to do it, and I don't know if this is a question of Jim Smith, because Damon was more of a football guy. I think Jim Smith's an administrator. I'm speaking, you know, as a fan, why not play him against the games you're air quotes supposed to win before he makes his debut on the road in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
If he's healthy enough to play and has got the offense grasp well enough.
The only thing I would say to that, Bob, is because we heard Locke say that he had missed some time.
Yeah, he's out for a minute, for sure.
So as a freshman, you know, missing time sets you back a little bit. So I would anticipate that Malik is not starting.
But maybe a snap or two.
Oh, you got to play him.
It could be the revolving door, actually, at quarterback for the University of Maryland.
If you put this team away... You know.
Speaking of that, Terps, when we come back, AD Jim Smith's going to be joining us as we ask the AD his debut here on Vinnie and Haney. And then we got Tony Pentee joining us, top of the hour. We're going to look at the Ravens' 53-man roster and the practice squad, too. No real head scratchers there, but maybe some pieces that could help them.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
down at CQ Stadium, taking on FAU. Bobby, Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, let's welcome into the program for the first time. Ask the AD. Ask the AD is brought to you by Green Turtle, featuring the Turtle Trio. Three favorites for $15.99 plus $2 off personal pitchers. That means you can't have any if I buy one of these things. But joining us now, let's welcome in AD Jim Smith. Jim, good morning and welcome to 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney and Vinny Serrato, how are you feeling this morning?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on today. Looking forward to doing this throughout the year.
Awesome. And look, let's get right into it. I mean, you've been on the job for a few months now. You've been in the area for over a month as well, once the duties with the All-Star game were done in Atlanta. When you took the job and you understood the challenges of taking over the athletic, the program, generating dough has always been kind of a problem there. I know the playing field might be more level now than it was a couple of years ago, but when you first came in and took the job at the University of Maryland in regards to fundraising and getting all of that done, generating alums, getting them to get in, and et cetera, what was the most challenging part of it, and what's the battle plan been so far?
So I got to be honest, I can't tell you that it's been enormously challenging. It's been really welcoming coming into the market. And, you know, when you come in from another big market into a big market, you realize there's a lot of competition in the market. It means that there's also a lot of opportunity. And, you know, one of the things that we really want to focus on here at Maryland is owning Saturday, because this is a great football market. And, you know, we can own Saturday. And if we own Saturday and the Ravens and the Commanders can own Sunday, I think we're going to have accomplished something really special in the market for football.
Now to that. And full disclosure, I was a 13-year season ticket holder at University of Maryland. We tapped out because we got old and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But since 2011, Jim, I've been to maybe five games in total. And attendance has been kind of down. And, you know, I know it's all results-based in a lot of ways. But what's the best way to own Saturday if you're getting people like me to get back into the stadium there?
Yeah, so I mean, it starts with your experience here at the stadium, right? I mean, so from the time you leave your driveway to the time you go home, did you have an incredible experience? And did we put a competitive product on the field during that time as well? So when you can combine both of those things, then you're going to be feeling compelled to come to our game. So you may not feel that right now, and that's part of our job, is how do we make you feel compelled to come back to College Park, that the experience is incredible, that you have fun while you're here, and you see a really competitive football game.
Now, Jim, how will you evaluate, you know, when you first come on a job, you have all these coaches, you don't know any of them. How do you evaluate the coaches on your staff?
So, you know, look, I've been working in pro sports for, you know, 30 years now. So you have a lot of contacts. I have a lot, like Vinny does, a lot of contacts in the NFL. A lot of contacts in the NBA, a lot of contacts in Major League Baseball, a lot of contacts in soccer. And you start working your network and saying, hey, what do you know about Maryland? What do you know about these coaches? And you learn a lot pretty fast on where these coaches are. And I'm really proud of the coaches. This is a really good group of coaches. They want to be at Maryland. They want to win here at Maryland. And this goes from field hockey to football all the way through. I know we focus a lot on football and men's and women's basketball, but really top to bottom, we have excellent coaches here, and they want to be at Maryland. They want to be successful at Maryland. They've been punching above their weight because, you know, we haven't had the resources that maybe other Big Ten schools have had. And so I'm just excited to be here to be able to bring some outside thoughts in and what will eventually be additional resources for these coaches to be very successful in the Big Ten.
Now, Jim, like with football, will you be hands-on? You know, do you meet with the coaches every week? You know, those types of things with the coaching staff? You know, like on Mondays, will you sit down with Locks on Mondays? Like, hey, Mike, you know, blah, blah, you know, what'd you think of the game? What do we got to do to better? All that, or do you have like somebody else who's in charge of football and you oversee all?
So a little bit of both, but I talk to Coach Loxley pretty much every day, right? I go to practice. We talk about how the team is, how we're progressing, you know, where our areas of opportunity are. You know, we're talking about next year. You know, we're charting a course for the future of successful football at Maryland. And so I'm in a daily conversation with him. And then I have a day-to-day administrator who's working with the football program, and that's Diana Sabo, who's obviously been in at Ohio State and has run the athletic program at Utah State. So between the two of us, I think we're covering football really well, and you know, that's how we're going to approach it.
Jim Smith, athletic director, University of Maryland, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, talking to the new AD right before kickoff, a couple of days before Maryland starts their season against Florida Atlantic. In regard to reaching out to maybe some alums, like high-profile kind of football, basketball, baseball players, I mean, you got a lot of Maryland Terps in the major leagues right now, reaching them and getting them to be reconnected with the university and the program, is that something that is a priority right now, or are they kind of coming forward themselves at this time?
It's a little bit of both, but it is definitely a priority. We have to reengage all our former student athletes to feel connected to our program. And, you know, over time, sometimes that ebbs and flows, but I think we have to be really consistent in our approach and how we make them still feel part of the family, regardless of where they are in their career or where we are on the field or on the court. So I think that's incumbent on the department to make sure that they feel welcome and connected to the athletic department.
Hey, Jim, what made this job attractive to you to, you know, to go to get involved with the process? Because, like, nobody heard your name, and then all of a sudden, boom, Jim Smith, the AD.
Yeah, so that's that was a little bit by design, right? I mean, there, if you want candidates to come from different backgrounds, I think you have to have a really good process. But the job was really compelling. The way the job description was written was far more of a president of a professional sports team than it was a traditional athletic director role. I said, you know, 5 years ago, I'm not even a remote candidate for a job like this. But the way Maryland looked at this for the future and where collegiate athletics looks to be going is far more towards a pro model than a traditional college model. And then, you know, I got to spend some time with President Pines. And, you know, you talk to anybody in college athletics, and they're going to tell you that, hey, you need to have a supportive administration and a supportive president if you want your athletic department to be successful. And Maryland is very fortunate to have that here with Dr. Pines.
Jim, last thing for you, because we know you're a busy man as football kicks off in a couple of days. What do you want to say to the people of Baltimore listening and beyond in regards to what your vision is for Maryland athletics and certainly for the football team? Because Mike Locksley has made big inroads recruiting-wise, but obviously people want to see the wins and losses start to translate in a more positive way here.
Yeah, I think the big thing that I'm trying to bring to the program is a championship culture. Right. I mean, the one thing that we have to believe that every time we take the field, the court, wherever we're competing, that we're going to bring our absolute best, that we can create a culture where the expectations are high and that we will win and we will consistently win. And I think that's where I need all of Maryland, not just Baltimore. I need all of Maryland to rally around our athletic department, because we can all do this together and have success together and enjoy what the fruits of our labor will be, which is what we all want, which is championships.
Jim Smith, athletic director, University of Maryland. Jim, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you throughout the next millions of months, because that's how long your contract is. I don't know if they told you here at 105.7 The Fan, but good luck this Saturday against FAU, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks.
There's Jim Smith, everyone. A lot of positivity there. Upbeat energy. I guess we shouldn't have broke out It's Total Request Thursday, pick a song. Anyway, we'll get into that next year. Coming up next, we'll reset the program for you, but the Terps are 14.5 point favorites against FAU. Ravens 53 is set, practice squad as well. Kyle Hamilton got a big fancy deal. Orioles lose yesterday. We'll talk about that. Well, more down on the farm as we're closing out the minor league system. Is the farm system replenished enough? Believe it or not, there's a lot of college football tonight. And we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. We'll start our picks for this year. Booze is on the line. I've been paying for other people's booze. I don't like it. I'm going to start drinking for free around here. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, joining us at 11:30. And then we got news from the Nest. We got buy or sell. We're going to get into all the Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh stuff from yesterday. We're going to do our picks coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Mike Harmon is going to give us fantasy football advice. So from noon to 2, we pretty much got the pigskin covered. And obviously, the Orioles will be on at 1, and we'll keep you up to date on the score. But let's get out to the phones. Go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, what's up?
What's good, Bob? How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. Still waiting for the Orioles to post that lineup. I mean, it's like they're trying to keep world secrets from people. Got Boston's. Give it to you later.
The gamesmanship's pushing the boundaries, bud.
Yeah, that's what it is. I don't think Crochet's worried about whoever they stick out there. You know what I mean?
I don't think he has many reasons to, my man. He's probably ready to just keep it moving like we want Boston to keep it moving and just kind of mosey on out of town here. We've definitely hit the limit with them for this season.
Yeah, but, no doubt.
You know, Orioles, obviously Mike Elias is trying to right the ship, right? He's trying to create some balance. I mean, it went awry. Some of that stuff you can't account for. I don't mind if Vanzolino was to remain our manager for a little while. I mean, it doesn't really bother me that much. I think, you know, my hyper-focus is always on the play on the field. And, but, you know, for what we're coming down with the stretch, I hope they can just get some balance in you know, wins and losses a little bit in development. And, you know, hopefully this last little stretch works out for us, bud. And we just wanted to put us in the right direction for next year at this point, right?
No doubt, Kevin.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. And look, the big decision, Elias, is forget everything else. The biggest decision he's going to have to make in the offseason is manager. Have they decided on whether or not Manzolino's guy yet?
What would you say? I would say he's gone.
I would predict absolutely they're going to be looking to upgrade, maybe bring in more of a veteran-y or a hot commodity, whatever it is.
Totally agree.
New guy. But Tony Manzolino, at least as he impressed enough people, that he might not get a managerial job, but he'll get a job in baseball. He's a baseball dude. His acumen is undeniable. But he was put in a very unfortunate situation. The Orioles have played more players this year than any point in their history. Injuries have been a major problem. Let's not deny that. But it was a flawed rotation coming into the season, as we've discussed many times. But if you got to hit the reset button to some level, and this will be his first managerial choice because Hyde kind of came in at the same time. We'll see how it goes. But do you go the Flats route, Ryan Flaherty, for instance, or Flash, rather? Or do you go Skip Schumacher, who's going to be a hot commodity? He's in Texas. Bochy could hang up the cleats, and then he might be the natural slide in there. Does he go to Atlanta if Snicker retires? I mean, there are going to be plenty of opportunities. So we'll see. Or do you go like, hey, Joe Madden says, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind managing again. Do you maybe bring that sort of guy in? Mike Elias, you got a busy offseason, but you got to get your managerial situation straightened out first, and then everything else financial, because the manager's not signing paychecks. That's your job. Mm-hmm. But it's your job to hire the manager and then confer in regards to what kind of coaching staff you want to put together. It's going to be fun. Potential's there for a really good team, and I think they are going to be really good next year, but I don't know if Tony Manzolino is going to be, you know, part of the equation. Let's get out to the phones again. Go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Speaking of booze, I never collected from you. And it's funny
What's that? Jack Daniels, right?
Yeah, it's funny because certain people be listening, and they're asking me on the street about have I ever got it. I'm like, well, you know, I had some stuff going on that didn't get it. But you know, Bob, you go for it.
I kind of forgot about it. Yeah, but I ain't going to lie. But, hey, whenever you want it, let me know. Ray, it is your. You said a pint, right? Is that what it was?
It's a half a gallon.
Oh.
That was the bet.
Half gallon JD. Whenever you want it, just let me know. I mean, we have our numbers. We'll connect, no doubt. We're in the same area, so we can get this done for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I got a new number, but I'll let you know that on the other side.
All right, cool.
One thing I'll say real quick, because I know y'all got to get to the top. For years, I've been calling y'all, and I've been calling Vinny in particular, saying that the whole Adley Rutschman versus Kyle Hamilton extension debate. And you always told me the whole time, Vinny, that Kyle Hamilton would get signed first. So my question to you as I get off this phone, y'all get to the top of the hour. I hear fans say, well, it's football, football, football. Well, baseball makes money too. And this is not a small market like many people like to put on. Baltimore, combined with D.C. and Virginia, is a major market as far as income, as far as eyes. So we can pay Gunnar Henderson. I say we as a fan because my money goes towards it too as a paying fan. We can play Gunnar Henderson because if Kansas City can pay Bobby Witt, they can pay Gunnar Henderson. So my question to you is, do the people on the other side, as far as the baseball players, do they pay attention to what the Lamar Jacksons and the Humphreys and the Hamiltons and Roquan Smiths get? And I'm anxious to get y'all thoughts. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Ray. Thank you.
I would say baseball players don't care what the football players make. It's two different deals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one's got a cap. One doesn't have a cap. So one's about signing bonus. I don't think it really matters. I mean, I would think that the Orioles players, if they care, they're happy for Kyle Hamilton that he got
all
paid.
All players like to see other, the term now, get that bag, as the young players would say. But, like, NFL's got the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only do that to one guy, right?
Yes.
Baseball's got arbitration where you could have a ton of guys like the Orioles do come up at the same time where that's where their raise comes from. And you could choose not to, if a guy hits a free agency like Eflin this year, do we give him a qualifying offer? So at the very least, if he signs somewhere else, we get some compensation for it, much like the NFL does where you get your draft pick compensation. If they choose not to, he just moseys off into the sunset and you get jack squat.
Well, like Bob, like Kyle Hamilton, you know, because you're a first-round pick, they own you for 5 years. Everybody else, they own you like for 4 years. What is it, rounds 2 through 4, and then after that, it's 3 years. Now, in baseball, like when they get drafted, how long before you become a free agent?
Well, once you hit the majors, then your clock starts ticking, and then you get to your arbitration phase, which is usually 4, I believe. But Adley got an extra year because he finished second in the rookie. Right, Nolan? Adley finished second in the rookie of the year, so accelerated his arbitration clock.
Roughly 6 years between pre-arbitration and arbitration for everybody altogether.
So there you go. So you still have monumental control.
No doubt.
Of the player. And here's another thing. As you've stated many times, and you know, if you follow, you know, it takes two to tango.
No doubt.
Hamilton was kind of in a position of strength. And the Ravens knew that. Where Adley, Gunner, Westberg, it's going to be a tougher deal to consummate.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. The Kyle Hamilton deal was easy because you know he's going to be the highest paid safety. It's how much more than the other guy got, you know, at $21 million, how much more. And Kyle's agent did a hell of a job getting him $4 million more than the next guy. So, I think with Linderbaum, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, but they want to keep him.
I would think so. Yes,
because he's been plug and play. Him and Hamilton, same draft class. Linderbaum actually was more impactful out of the gate than Hamilton was.
No doubt about that. Especially the first year.
Yeah, we'll come back. Go back to the Orioles down on the farm in particular. Tony Petty, OriolesHangout.com. Whip around 11:15. Talk about what's going on in the world of sports. Ton of college football tonight. As a matter of fact, run down some of the games. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, 11:30. Talk about the decision to let Aiken go out for the ninth and how it cost him a game. And then Povich. Hey Povich, a lot of eyes are going to be on you because everybody's watching Boston and they're quest to catch Toronto and stay ahead of the Yankees. What are you doing to impress people? And then a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw, news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. We're going to say hi to Eric DaCosta. We're going to say hi to John Harbaugh and Kyle Hamilton himself. Stick around.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.